Good morning and welcome to the Presbyterian Church of Floyd. This is Reverend Bob McLavey welcoming you to our time together. This morning we're going to have a really insightful message, I hope, out of the book of Romans. Actually, I'm going to read a passage out of Romans to get us started, but then I'm going to explore a pathway through the entire Bible, and I'm going to do it in just a few minutes. So that's pretty extraordinary, don't you think? I hope you'll enjoy this morning's message very much. So before we begin, let me start with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for this opportunity to be together and to bow before you, this opportunity to hear your word. And Lord, we pray for your special blessing this morning, and that truly you will touch our hearts and minds and help us to understand this word, where we're going to look at hope as we turn to you, Lord, for hope. So we pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So as I mentioned in the prayer, I'm going to be looking at the subject of hope this morning. I actually have entitled this morning's message, Oceans, Faith, and an Awesome God. And I think you'll understand the title once you hear my message this morning. But to begin, I'm going to read from the New Testament, from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 18 through 25. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. This is the word of the Lord. Well, I want us to pause for a few minutes and think about hope. Yes, at some point, we will all realize that this world is chaotic and unpredictable, and that we are susceptible to all kinds of things. So the question I want to ask this morning is this. Given the reality of our world is one of chaos and of great tribulation at the moment, where do we find hope? Where does hope come from in a world marked by chaos and disorder? Is there a solid rock to stand on when the waves come rushing in? And where do we find hope? Let's take a quick journey through the Bible, looking for hope, and using the ocean or the sea as a guide. Now let's understand that the ancient Israelites viewed the ocean or the sea as a realm of chaos and disorder. Many of us think about the ocean as a place you go on vacation. It's beautiful. There's recreation there. There's a beach. And that's all true. But in the ancient world, the Israelites didn't see the ocean that way. The Israelites didn't go into boats. They were afraid of the ocean. The ancient Israelites believed that the ocean was a realm of chaos and disorder and destruction. And it stood in opposition to their God, who was a God of order and beauty. And so throughout the scriptures of the ancient Israelites, the ocean is almost always depicted in negative terms. It's always seen as a realm of evil, and that's been right at the beginning in Genesis chapter 1. In the opening scene of the Bible, we're told that the world is formless and void, and that darkness was over the surface of the deep. So the image at the beginning of this completely formless world, an endless abyss, dark and ominous. But the writer of Genesis goes on to say that the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the deep. And then you know what happens. God speaks and he separates the water from the land. He separates day from night. And as the process of creation continues, God puts order and boundaries in a world that had previously been chaotic. And so by the end of the creation account, there's a perfectly ordered world that God declares good. And then at the very end of the creation account, God establishes a garden where he puts the man and the woman. Eden is the complete opposite of that disorder at the beginning. A garden is a place of total order and beauty and abundance. It represents God triumphing over the chaos, bringing complete order where before there had been only disorder. Next, God places a man and the woman in the garden, and he gives them a command: be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth and fill it. Humanity was supposed to take God's work of ordering the world and expand it far beyond Eden, so that the entire world would be a place of beauty and abundance. But of course, we know the man and the woman didn't follow through with that command. Instead, they rebelled against God. They decided they wanted to rule the world without him, and they plunged the world back into chaos. But thankfully, we worship a God who isn't content to leave it that way. He hasn't abandoned the world to chaos, just as he did at the beginning of creation, where he hovered over the chaotic ocean and drew order out of it. So God is in the process of bringing order out of chaos. This theme continues through the Bible's emphasis on good versus evil, where the evil is represented by the sea and good represented by God's power over it. Listen to what the psalmist says about this. I've selected just two psalms, two of many psalms that speak about God's power over the sea. But for example, Psalm 93 says, "The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their roaring, but mightier than the thunders of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea, is the Lord Almighty on high." And out of Psalm 77, It says, when the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled. Now, each of these psalms, and as I mentioned, there are many more just like it, but each of these psalms speak of the power of God as being more mighty than the sea. It's an image of power that we can relate to. So the first message we have about hope is that hope is to be found in nothing in this world. Hope is found in God alone. God is the one who can speak to the waters and they separate. God is the one who can triumph over the seas. He is the one who brings order out of chaos. My point about hope is this. Our hope is to be found in God alone, not in our experience, not in our technology, not in our early warning systems about tsunamis, not in our wealth, not in any of these things, because in a moment the world can sweep in and take it all away. Yes, hope is to be found in God alone. Apart from this simple idea that hope is found in God alone, the scriptures have a lot more to say. After the opening scene in Genesis, where God brings order out of chaos, just a few chapters later, we read another story about the sea in Genesis chapter 6. Noah has been preserved in the ark with a few others, a remnant, while the rest of the world is destroyed in the flood. God protects them and saves them through it. Then, at the very beginning of Exodus, we read about the Pharaoh, this king of Egypt, who orders that all the Hebrew babies be thrown into the Nile and killed. But one of them is preserved. Moses, in a little basket, is preserved through the waters. The story of Moses is a retelling of the story of Noah. God protects one little child through the waters. And of course, Moses then grows up and redeems and rescues God's people from Egypt. And how does that happen? Remember, they're up against the sea on one side and Pharaoh's army on the other. And once again, God acts. A mighty wind comes, the sea separates, and his people walk out on dry land. And then when Pharaoh's army goes into the sea to pursue them, the waters cover over them. And just like in the story of Noah, the evil ones are destroyed by the sea. Now, as you read these stories, keep in mind not just that God brings us hope over chaos or that he triumphs over the sea, but that God is with us as we pass through the sea. Remember that in Exodus, God led the Israelites by a cloud by day and a fire by night, which represented the presence of God himself. He was with his people, guiding them. Another way of thinking about this is found in Isaiah. When everything's chaotic, everything's falling down around us, and when we appear to be trapped without hope, these words from Isaiah 43, verse 2, make sense. It says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you." The imagery of God's presence with his people is seen throughout the scriptures, the story of Moses, the Exodus, the Psalms, and the prophets. The idea is simple. There are times when we cry to God and he immediately delivers us from chaos. And there are times when it appears that he doesn't answer us immediately. It's in that moment hope comes from the conviction not just that God can triumph over the sea, but that God is also with us as we pass through the sea. As God says in Isaiah, "I am with you when you pass through the waters." Our God is with us. So far, we've looked just at the Old Testament. So now let's take a look at the New Testament. In the story found in Mark 4, Jesus and his disciples get in a boat, and a terrible storm strikes them on the Sea of Galilee. They wake Jesus up because they're frightened to death. And Jesus just speaks a word, and the storm is calm. It's then that his disciples look at him and they say, "Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Obviously, the disciples didn't quite get it at that moment, but we know later they would. But the one in the boat with them is the same one who separated the sea from the land at the very beginning of creation, the same one who protected Noah through the flood, the one who delivered Moses from the Nile, the one who delivered the Israelites through the Red Sea. He is the one who is with us as we pass through the waters. So when chaos appears to be winning, we find hope from the fact that God is with us. He doesn't abandon us. He doesn't leave us. He is with us in our boat in the midst of the chaos, and therefore we don't need to be afraid. There are going to be seasons of our lives when hope doesn't seem obvious, when deliverance doesn't come immediately, when the waves of the sea overwhelm us, when the chaos seems to be winning. And in those scenarios, we need to remember that God has not abandoned us. He's in the boat with us. And if that's the case, we don't have to be afraid. So we've explored two simple ideas about hope. First, God is mightier than the sea. Our hope is in God alone, not in anything we have in this world. And secondly, he is with us when we pass through the waters. He doesn't abandon us to chaos. Now, there's a third truth I want to see in the scriptures about hope. Throughout the Bible, there's an image that appears in the creation account. There's an image that appears in the story of Noah, and also the Exodus, and also the Psalms, and the prophets like Isaiah and the Gospels. It's a picture of God the Father, or Jesus, God the Son, speaking to and calming the seas. But this image reaches its culmination in the book of Revelation. There's an interesting account from the Apostle John in the book of Revelation as he's given this vision of the new heavens and the new earth. And in Revelation 21, almost in a side comment, John makes an observation. As he observes the new heaven and the new earth, he says, "The sea was no more." The sea was no more. Have you ever thought about that? What does that mean? Does it mean in the perfected creation, there's going to be no ocean, no water, no sea? When you understand the theme of the ocean throughout the scriptures, what John is saying is that in the perfected creation, in the new heavens and the new earth, there will be no realm for evil. The forces of chaos and evil will be completely eradicated. Everything will be ordered and beautiful and perfect. In other words, everything that's wrong in the world will be set right. God will triumph over all. So the third idea about hope is this. Hope is temporary because the day is coming when the sea will be no more and our desires will be fulfilled. Everything will be made right. And not just for us. The message of the New Testament is that this hope will be fulfilled for all creation. And that's what Paul was writing about in Romans 8 that I read at the very beginning. Paul says, it isn't just we who long to be liberated from sin and evil in this world. He says, the whole creation groans in anticipation for the day when it will be set free from chaos and evil and sin. And until that day, Paul tells us we have to hang on to this truth that all things will work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purposes. In other words, despite all the chaos and terrible things you see in this world and the things you yourself might be experiencing, you have to believe that the day is coming when all of that is going to be taken up and transformed into goodness. That all the chaos, all the evil, all the tsunamis, all the floods, all the diseases, all the brokenness, all of that somehow is going to be taken up by God and turned into good. The sea will be no more. So the question I ask this morning is this. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that we have a God who isn't just interested in redeeming souls off a sinking ship, but a God who is interested in redeeming all of creation and taking everything that has been intended for evil and transforming it into good? Does our God bring order out of chaos? Does He bring beauty from ashes? Does He bring goodness from what others intended for evil? Well, my answer is, of course He does. That's why we worship Him. That's why we gather here. That's our great hope. So we have these three simple truths. First, hope is to be found in God alone. He is mightier than the sea. He has a power which is greater than any in this world. Second, even when it appears that chaos is winning, God is with us as we pass through the waters. He's in our boat. We don't have to be afraid. And third, the day is coming when the sea will be no more. A day is coming when everything will be made right. So as we close, I want you to take a moment and identify where there is chaos in your life. It could be from any number of sources, but think of an area where you feel like things are out of control. And then which of these truths about hope do you need to hang on to today? Are you putting your trust in something other than God alone? The God who alone is mightier than the sea? Are you feeling God's absence in your life? You need to be reminded that He's actually with you as you pass through those waters. Or do you need to have your vision lifted beyond your immediate circumstances to that day when all will be made right. Take a few minutes. Commune with your God. Find your hope in Him. To the glory of God. To the glory of an awesome God. Amen. And now, friends, let us continue to worship with a very appropriate song this morning. Here is Shout to the Lord, a song written by Darlene Check, this morning arranged and performed by our own Alan Vest. So here is Alan singing Shout to the Lord.
Compares to the front. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have.
Wow, thank you to Alan for that beautiful song, wonderful song, so appropriate for what we were talking about this morning. Shout to the Lord. Well, friends, as we look ahead to the week and the time ahead of us, let us just remember that throughout Scripture, we are assured that God is there. He's with us, even through the depths of darkness. He is there even when we are afraid to go out in our boat. God is with us. He's in the boat with us. And so just remember that whenever we feel like we have something that's beyond our control, yes, indeed, we have faith in God alone. Have a wonderful week ahead, and thank you for listening.